Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with another episode of our Ultimate Survivor Series. We are down to 14 people remaining in the cast, and this is going to be our last pre-merge episode, I think. I know next week we are doing a merge episode, so this is probably the last pre-merge episode. But we are talking about I Will Destroy You from Millennials vs. Gen X. Yes, we have covered this on the podcast, but Alexa and I have never done it together. It was Will and I back in the day. We did talk about this for our patrons at one point when we were talking about the best Survivor episode ever. And while this one did not win that, it is mostly because it's just not as good from top to bottom as that ending is. And maybe the ending actually ruins the rest of it, because this is a very good episode of Survivor. But that ending is, I truly believe it's the best blindside in Survivor history, maybe with the exception of John Carroll, just because John Carroll's was so influential in the game. But Michaela Bradshaw going home is unbelievable.
It's the best blindside from an entertainment standpoint. I get that the John Carroll one definitely carries more, like, that is more of a butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. But Michaela's also has an in-game butterfly effect, because Jay can never recover from this. Mm-hmm. Like, Jay has the best moment and never ever gets his footing again. And he never looks back and he's like, man, I should have kept Michaela, because that's just not the way that you should play the game. But he is so dominant, and it's really funny knowing that, like, she very well could have won this if he didn't feel like getting rid of her.
Yeah, I always wonder how Michaela would have done in front of a jury, because we've seen on her two seasons that she can be polarizing, but it also seems like if you like Michaela, you really like Michaela. And so how would she have done on a jury? And if she was sitting there at the end with Hannah, Will, and Jay, would her and Jay have really battled it out? Would Jay have beaten her bad? Because I don't think Will or Hannah would have gotten the respect. As we know, Hannah didn't get the respect from the jury, but I don't think Will would have gotten much respect from the jury either. So would Michaela have been able to go toe-to-toe with Jay? And was Jay right in getting rid of Michaela, because he would have lost to her? He was just wrong in getting rid of Michaela at final 14 rather than waiting until, I don't know, final 10, 11, 12, 9, 6. It doesn't matter. Anytime.
At least just go into the merge with an ally who won't leave you. Yeah, and she, like, there's so much going on in Millennials versus Gen X that it does feel like there's too many people sometimes. But early on in this pre-merge, like, Michaela dominates from a challenge perspective, from a confessional perspective. And to your point, like, she hates Figgy, and Figgy probably doesn't like her. But the people who like her are really all about her. And you see that when I think it's when they get to the reward challenge and Jeff shows that Figgy was voted out, and Michaela's like, not having it. And for better or for, in my opinion, more or worse, she really puts it out there that she's like, someone effed up. And it's like, well, you don't know. Like, you know, it's not that simple.
Well, she also, I mean, she's also happy that Figgy is gone, though, because she doesn't like Figgy. And so that's like Michaela was great for those. What did she say? Like, sometimes you say what you think you need to say, not what you actually feel. That was one of those times. And it's like, well, that should have also been one of those times, Michaela, because now you're also revealing your hand to the rest of Millennials. But while Millennials versus Gen X, I think is a very, very good season. I know it's pretty polarizing. I think one of the interesting things about it is that when they do this three tribe swap, every tribe goes to tribal council, and all of the all of the tribes that have the power end up voting out one of their own. And that's where it goes CC when the Gen Xers have the power. Then it goes Figgy when the Millennials have the power. And then Michaela goes when Millennials have the power. And I think that's what's really compelling about this. And maybe we shouldn't have been as blindsided as we were by this. But it really, I think what adds to this, what really adds to this, for all of you who have been paying attention to Inside Survivor over the course of, like, the last month or so, we know that the season 41 cast has been revealed. We know that season 42 cast has now been revealed. Well, at the time of this episode airing, it was known that Zeke and Michaela were on season number 34. And so we all knew that Michaela was making it through this episode, because up until this point, while she was a very interesting character, she had not done anything that really warranted being asked to return. She was fun. She was polarizing, but it was like, oh, her post-merge, Michaela's going to go off. And so her going home here was not just mind-blowing to everybody who didn't know she was going to be on 34, but us diehard fans couldn't believe that Michaela was going home because we knew she was about to play again. And what do you mean you're putting her on a season called Game Changers when she was 14th and didn't make the merge?
And didn't change the game. I mean, I liked her. Like, I thought she was a blast. Clearly great in challenges. Strategically fine. That, I mean, for what it's worth, that's Game Changers in a nutshell, actually. Mm-hmm. But with that title, and Zeke, too, but obviously we're talking about Michaela here, it's like this vote out happens and you wonder if there's going to be like an edge of extinction before edge of extinction.
Right.
Wonder if there's going to be more. And I think, you know, I think you bring her on for the entertainment value and like having a polarizing character, but really like mind-boggling choice when it's live and you're spoiled.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting here like if that was called Missed Opportunities or something like that, but the fact that it was Game Changers and she was coming back, I thought she was so safe. I think I had her like number one or two in my power rankings coming into that week. And mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe that she ended up going home. And it is such an incredible blindside because she was never going to vote out Jay. She was never going to vote out Will, and she was never going to vote out Hannah. None of that was ever going to happen. That was her final four. And when she said it, she meant it. She meant, this is my final four. I think I can beat any of you. I don't care how it goes. And so for Jay to flip it on her so quickly, just out of nowhere, and for Will to also be on board with it, and especially when Sunday and Brett were not very big characters up to this point, it's just such a great trick by the editors. And her reaction at the end is just, it's all time. I mean, that's one of the great moments in Survivor history is her reaction at the end.
It's so long. It's like so extended. Every time I watch it, I'm like, she's going to go. And then it's like a 2-minute scene. It's so, so long. But when I was rewatching it, I felt like I saw the hints. Like after she kicks butt in the reward challenge, she actually has a confessional and she's like, I know I'm really good in challenges. I hope that people don't see it. And that's one of those things that, like, if she doesn't go, like, that's something that's a wink for maybe 3 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, when someone brings up, let's try this other plan, it's, you know, it makes no sense to get rid of Michaela instead of Sunday or Brett. And yet,
that's yeah. And like, did you build enough strength with Sunday and Brett? And obviously, we end up seeing what happens. All of that alliance does make it to the final eight of this game. So, yes, that alliance actually is a pretty strong group of five. But Adam and Dave and Ken are also able to make something work together. But they do all make the final eight. So despite the fact that this might be the wrong move, they all survived the first five boots post-merge. Which is really impressive. And I know one of those is a rock draw and all of that, but it does say that even though Jay ultimately makes the wrong move for him to win the game and that Michaela would have been stronger with him, Brett and Sunday do their part in this episode and for the rest of the season in terms of trying to navigate their way to the end with Jay and with Will.
Yeah, absolutely. And they come out of the challenge and Brett and Sunday are like, we're going to vote for each other. It is what it is. And even after or before that, they're all sitting there and they don't want to talk to each other. They don't want to vote each other out. And this is a season that, like I've said this too, that people don't like because it's strategy, strategy, strategy. But I really think that's more in the post-merge because this episode is very character development heavy. There's a lot of like non-strategic moments going on, all like especially with all of the other camps. It feels very, maybe it's like, maybe if you look at episodes like in a standalone way, that's just how it's always going to look. But I was pleasantly surprised by how much we talked to the players.
No, Millennials vs. Gen X actually does that quite a bit. I remember Will and I got so much crap for saying that Jay and Adam's relationship on the show was one of the best that Survivor had ever had. And we got so much crap for that, but I really believe that. Like, I think that throughout this season, they do a good job of focusing on the characters. It's just, unfortunately, they don't do a very good job of focusing on two of the final three. And that's where it takes, that's where it gets a knock. I mean, Sunday and Will, being that they're going to be, you know, boots in the same episode, it's understandable why they get kind of overlooked. But yeah, for that reason alone, it's kind of interesting how, you know, we're getting a lot from each one of these people. And even in an episode all the way up here, I thought it was cool how Survivor actually changed the music for, like, after the win at the immunity challenge. Like, the music was different. There was a more ominous tone to it. And it was, do we really know what's coming here? And, like, yeah, something felt off. And the total silence at camp when they got back. There's a lot of really good stuff going on in this episode that we haven't, you know, you forget now, this is seven seasons old. That's almost becoming an older season now.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, I mean, older, especially like in the context of the 30s, like this is the beginning of the Fiji era, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the first one.
I actually didn't think about it until right now, but yeah, it's like you definitely see flashes of this becoming full new school. Like, I remember Sunday, for whoever Jeff asked, he's like, are you guys going to stress about who to vote each other out? And Sunday was like, actually, we all really like each other. And Jeff was like, no, you're going to strategize. And it's like, okay, like, let them have this. But actually, I mean, obviously the best moment of this episode is Michaela going home. But I think one of the best quotes of this episode is Hannah freaking out. And she's like, I just interrogated a cop. Like, that whole scene was so funny. And that, like, you know, you go like way back to like the Gary Hogaboom days and people trying to figure out who someone is. Like, this was only seven seasons ago. And still people are trying to figure out what they do. And he's like, I mean, a funeral director. He's like the jolliest guy out there. Like, it's just, that whole scene was really good too. All the guys farting in front of Michelle. Like, none of this is strategy talk. The only strategy talk we get is David and Zeke, which makes sense. They're like trading idol secrets. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. And that's, I think, what makes this episode so good.
Yeah, I think it does a really good job of humanizing all of them. And the farting is hilarious. And I doubt Michelle was as annoyed or as disgusted. I'm sure she'd been around that a lot throughout this. I mean, you talk to the survivors, they'll tell you they have no problem farting in front of people after they come off of Survivor. So it's more that, you know, maybe when all three of them are teaming up on you, and one of the questions was probably, how'd you feel about everybody farting in front of you? But when this episode aired, this was the episode where Will and I went to Pop Fest out. This was on Halloween, and we went out to Pop Fest, and they showed that clip at Pop Fest. And it was not the farting, but the clip of Hannah talking about how she interrogated a cop and Brett being like, I'm a funeral director and blah, 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 and all of that. And so while we were watching that, after it was over, Jeff went out on stage and he said, all right, everybody, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, so what'd you guys think of that clip? Pretty good, huh? And we're like, yeah. He's like, what do you guys think about Michaela? And everybody went nuts. And then it was like, all right, what do you guys think about Hannah? And everybody went a little less nuts. And then what do you guys think about Brett? And everybody went a little less nuts. But everybody went crazy for Michaela. And it's almost like Jeff was all flipping us the bird and saying, yeah, I know you all love her. So good thing she's coming back, because she's gone after this. And that was in like their promotion at the only time they ever did the Pop Fest. That was part of their promotional material, was that scene, which is a very human scene, not the scene of Zeke and David talking about their idol, not the scene of somebody winning immunity or talking about who they're going to vote out. They went with a scene where people were just talking about, I don't think that he's a funeral director. And that's an interesting decision. And with how excited everybody was, I'm wondering why Jeff didn't force those things to still be put in the show.
That's a good point. And it's, you make a good point about Hannah, like what you said earlier too, where she is a major part of the season, and obviously she doesn't win, but like I think about her versus Julie Rosenberg, like, and we obviously love Julie, but Hannah has like all-time character moments in this season, and maybe it's because it's too full, maybe there's not enough room for her, but she is like severely underloved and underedited for just like the funny character that she is.
Yeah. And I almost feel like they didn't know how to edit her.
Yeah.
Because her delivery is way, way different than somebody like Gabby, who falls into the same, what Is that beeping you?
That's my phone. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just worried for anybody who's listening on iTunes. Sorry.
It's fine. I'm trying to turn them off.
Yeah, but that's all good. But she has a weirder delivery of all of her lines. She has a weirder way of speaking. She has a weirder way of, like, even after Michaela goes, like, her embarrassment is different than somebody like Gabby's embarrassment. And yeah. I feel like Gabby's an easier person to edit if you're looking for this archetype. And Aubrey is an easier person to edit. Hannah's not as easy to edit. It's not a knock on Hannah. It just is, I think that she is more unique in that way, where it's how do you really portray Hannah? And there's people who loved Hannah. A lot of people argue Hannah should have won the season, but how do you portray her on screen in a way that is going to be palatable for everybody? It's hard to do.
Yeah, she has, and I say this because I think I maybe have a similar sense of humor. She has a sense of humor that doesn't translate unless you're kind of in person with her, I would mm-hmm. assume.
Yeah.
I've never met her, but.
I have met her, and she has a good sense of humor and a good personality, but it is one of those that it's harder to put on TV than other personalities. And I think that's why, you know, Ken, a hard personality to put on TV, like just a hard personality to put on TV. That doesn't mean that they're not interesting. That doesn't mean that they're not entertaining. It just means if they're not going to win, Survivor's probably not going to force them, when somebody like David Wright is super easy to give an edit to on TV. And, you know, Hannah in this episode, she's the one who's interrogating Brett and all of that. And then she's the one who's completely left out to dry at the end of the episode. And that kind of feels like how she is the entire season. She's just completely left out to dry. And then at the end, she gets zero votes and is the one sitting there going, oh, sorry about your mom, to Adam. Like, she's just totally kind of abandoned out there. It's very weird how her arc doesn't really go anywhere.
Right. And the reason she's left out of the Michaela vote is, I think they're just like, oh, well, Hannah would freak out. Like, it's mm-hmm. already, like, that's already been established so early. So I feel like it just proves how hard it is to recover from anything on the show.
Yeah. And what is it? Will says, if we tell her, she's going to freak out. If we tell her later, if we don't tell her, she's going to freak out later. And Jay's like, yeah, we don't tell her then. Like, just deal with it tomorrow. Don't deal with it while you're trying to pull the blind side at the same time.
Exactly.
Because what would Michaela have done? You know what I mean? I think that's another thing to think about, is what would Michaela have done had Jay or Will told Hannah and had Hannah told Michaela? Would Michaela have been able to pull Brett and Sunday, and would they have all moved forward in the game together and tried to get back with Dave and Chris and all of that when they hit the merge?
Yeah, I guess that depends on, like, where Brett and Sunday fell on this. Because we really didn't get their opinion much other than, like, they're just happy they didn't go on.
Yeah, and I think it unfortunately had to be edited that way. Otherwise, it would have revealed its hand too much.
Yeah, and I think it's fine. I actually kind of liked the surprise of, like, not knowing if they ever spoke to Brett and Sunday or not. Because that was never shown. At least I don't think it was.
And it does make it all the better when you watch it and realize that Brett and Sunday were in on it the whole time.
Yeah, totally.
That is kind of cool. I kind of like when you're watching Brett's face after Michaela loses it. Like, it is kind of cool that they were in on it the entire time.
Yeah, like, she gets 4 votes. This is not this was not like a split vote situation at all.
No. And if they would have told Hannah and she couldn't pull Michaela, or she couldn't figure something out, she would have voted too, and it would have been 5-1. Like, it would have still been a massive blindside.
That would have been crazy too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, this is also the episode where Adam cannot stop talking about how he screwed Taylor, which is also a great moment.
Yeah, this is, so we talk a lot about how, like, Adam's game is up and down, up and down. And this is one of those moments where we talked to Adam about this on the podcast when we interviewed him. And we were like, why were you doing that? And he said that it actually helped Taylor to appreciate him more and, like, build trust with Taylor, because he wasn't trying to say to Taylor, no, man, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
He was being real with him, which actually helped him with Taylor.
I actually think it was the right thing to do. I think Adam just talks away in a way that is, like, not how I.
He yells.
He yells and he repeats himself often. But I actually agree with the decision of, like, hitting the person with honesty, because you're right. Like, how many people want to hear, like, oh, no, it was a one-time thing. Like, I got you. Like, that's not true. Like, so give it to him straight. And obviously Taylor, like, was never going to be with him again anyway, but better be honest. So I like it. I just, like, cannot get over how loud he talks.
Yeah, it's almost like how we were just talking about Hannah. Hannah is a harder person to edit just because of like her delivery, her mannerisms, all of that. Adam, it's hard to be like, why do you feel the need to say, I admit that, like 900 times, screaming it? And like, Taylor has realized after the first time you say, I screwed you, that you screwed him. Like, you don't have to keep letting him know 15 more times.
It came across. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple things I noticed in this episode kind of like that where, you know, you see it further on. Like when people are nervous about Chris being better at challenges, he's pretty good at the challenges in this episode, even if he doesn't – like he kind of gets the hang of things quickly and then whatever happens, happens. We see why Michelle is the merge boot in this episode because she just has nothing going on with the guys. We see why Zeke and Chris have such a hard time kind of forgiving each other after Zeke blindsides Chris at Final 11. Like – we see a lot of that being built in this episode. And what I think is awesome about this episode is that you're able to build these Adam and Taylor. That moment is huge. That's actually Final 12. And that moment is huge when they're talking about the food and all of that. And they're able to build all of these moments. They're going to have massive payoffs later in the season while still having one of the ultimate payoffs in Survivor history at the end of the episode. But they didn't need to just focus in on that story the entire time. And I think that's really good storytelling, and that's really good Survivor.
Yeah, this season does have really good storytelling. I think especially with the Adam situation, because it does come up often, but it's spread out in a way that, like, sometimes you forget, but it is a part of the storyline, but it's not shoved down your throat. And then especially like the Taylor and Adam like eating situation, even though that's like such a small snippet, like that has a good like drag out too. I think it is well paced. So it's funny. Like, I like this episode. We both ranked it really high. I ranked it like crazily high. And then I go back and like think about that I didn't like the season, but it's one of those things that I think people just like to hate it.
That's what I think too. I personally love this season. I think this is it's a top half season of Survivor, which at this point, when there's as many seasons as there are, being in the top half means you're top 20. And now top 20 isn't what top 20 meant when we were on Millennials vs. Gen X. It's a big difference now. And I would say that this is probably closer to top 15 for me. Now I'll see when I actually rewatch it as I keep going through the seasons. But I do think that this is a very underrated season. I think there's a lot of hatred just for the fact that Adam won. I think there's a lot of hatred for the fact that Hannah got zero votes at the end. I think there's a lot of hate that David doesn't win or doesn't at least get the final three. And I think there's a lot of hate for how some of the female characters on the season are edited, because the entire pre-merge is women except for Paul, and they're all under-edited. And then Sunday gets barely any edit, and Hannah's kind of pushed to the side. And so I think those are some of the bigger complaints about the season. But I think if you kind of just watch this season – and kind of look at it as like what it is, I think it's a very, very, very well done season. There's going to be stuff you're going to be able to nitpick about any season of Survivor pretty much post 21 on. You're going to be able to nitpick something. But I think that this is one of the better told stories that Survivor's had. And it's told more like a mystery than just a straightforward, this person or this person is going to win the entire time.
Yeah, because it's not obvious that Adam wins. At least I didn't think so. And I mean, I've been watching a lot of international Survivor, and the winners are shocking. And I have been being like, I don't get it. Like, why, how could this person have possibly won? And maybe that's one of those things, like, people thought that about Adam, but actually maybe that makes it more exciting, because I'd rather be shocked and confused and feel something when a winner wins rather than, saw that coming.
Yeah, I think it depends on what comes before it. You know, I think in a season like Millennials vs. Gen X, Adam winning is exciting because when Jay goes home, you're like, all right, David won. And then when David goes home at Final Four, you're like, wait, who is going to win from these three? I was not expecting this to happen, because coming into that finale, Will and I pretty much gave Adam no shot to win. We thought it was going to be Jay, or we thought it was going to be David, and we even thought that Brett or Hannah had a better chance in certain scenarios. We thought that the jury would react to them better. We really didn't think Adam had much of a chance. So I think it depends. Like, the shock shouldn't be the shock just for the sake of surprising you. But, you know, in a season like, you know, Vanuatu or Panama, like, where you have this unexpected winner, even in Pearl Island, you go into that finale, you're not really thinking like, oh, Sandra's got this in the bag. Yeah. And so I think it depends on what it is, because then there's also very satisfying endings with very obvious winners, such as Winners at War. You know, it depends on where it's going. The Natalie White thing can never happen again, but Adam is different than that, because Adam, we should have seen it coming. We just are looking past it over and over again because of all the red herrings that are being thrown at us with Jay and Zeke and David and all of these growth arcs that all of these big characters are having.
Yeah. And Adam says, be the most average player on the season. And this is a really, this season is a really great example of how that type of player wins. And I really, really like that.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the most average player on a season, because we just did that for our patrons, you know, for the last 2 months. And it's funny because in this episode, we do see Ken and Jessica talking to Taylor about how it might be better to keep Taylor because Adam is so much more strategic, and Taylor couldn't be strategic if he tried. So they were seeing a little bit, but I think that once the merge hits, David and Jay and all of them are so much more in your face that Adam was just good about not ever letting you know just how good he was at the game, but still letting you know that he wasn't bad at the game so that he would get your votes at the end. That's a tough act to balance. It's tough.
It's a really tough act to balance. And I feel like so many people try and they get voted out at the merge.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems to be where it happens, right? I mean, Michelle was kind of doing that. Michelle is did you have Michelle as your most average player for the season? I think you did.
I think I might have. And she's someone who I think a lot of people like wanted to win / thought would win. Mm-hmm. And she's not a major player on the season at all.
No. And I think she had the strategy, but you know, people were more worried about her for one reason or another. That seems like you said, they always end up going at the merge. Why are people worried about the merge boots? Yeah. It varies based on what season, but she's definitely an interesting merge boot. That's for sure.
Yeah. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
The only other note I have here is that the like rewards from Borneo, where you could get one beer versus like, I wrote down garlic shrimp and cheesecake. Like, I don't even remember what it is, but it's pretty much just like shove your face and like fart out all of the garlic shrimp versus Doritos in Australia.
Uh-huh. One Dorito, one candy bar. Like, yeah, I love this though. I love that they bring in the chef to cook for them. And like, it's a little bit more creative than you're going to have Chinese food, you know? And like, it is a barbecue and it is fun. It is going to get them talking more. And it builds a lot on these personalities, because while David and Zeke were already big characters, Chris and Michelle weren't really big characters coming into this episode. And now all of a sudden we're starting to get to know them even better. And then we even get the skewers where Michaela's screaming, we're going to eat skewers tonight and all of that. There's a lot of really good stuff that comes out of like these differing that make you interact and make you feel like you're on like a vacation. But I always love when Survivor does this kind of thing where it's like, you're going to get garlic shrimp and chicken and, you know, it'll be great. And I'm sitting here going, I wish I had garlic shrimp and chicken. Like, why do the people starving on the island get to eat better than I get to eat tonight? Like, what's going on here? And I always think it's funny that that's the point we've gotten to now on Survivor. Whereas, like you said, back in Borneo, it was here's one Dorito or here's one candy bar. Hope you can all split it between yourselves. Now I watch them and I'm like, man, I wish I didn't eat McDonald's tonight. I probably should have went and gotten myself barbecue from somewhere.
I never crave barbecue, though. I think McDonald's is the right choice for you.
Yeah, well, there was a period here, Alexa, where I was eating McDonald's way too often, and you know that.
That's true. And look at you now. You're looking great.
Look at me now, a human, a specimen. But Michaela Bradshaw, unfortunately, and this is the last thing I'll kind of say on Michaela, because then we can move forward. It looks like she's going to be on the challenge coming up and all of that. Is the show for her. Michaela doesn't pan out in Survivor. Her Game Changers game, the tea sipping is great and all that, but Michaela never quite hits that tier. You know, she more falls to me into like the Shein, the Alicia, the trying to think like of who else, but it's just one of those where yes, she played again, but she was never the most memorable person on her season and probably wasn't one of the five or six most memorable people on her season. Her boot is easily one of the top five most memorable boots in Survivor history. But her as a character, I had forgotten what Michaela's voice sounded like before I watched the episode tonight. And I thought that was very weird.
Yeah, that is odd. Yeah, the Game Changers game is just like, it's one of those things where like, I wish she came back on a different season. And I wish she didn't come. Like, people coming back to back is just, it's so bad. And I mean, you say this all the time, like, the tea sipping is, I loved it. I thought it was great. But that's like, I'm a returning player. Like, that's versus, I maybe this is a bad opinion, but her reaction when she got voted out felt very real. That did not feel like an Aubrey Coleslaw moment. Like, that did not feel like some, that was real. And that's, it's hard to capture.
Yeah, it's like the meme culture, right? It's like, we're going to, like, the person who just went to Disney, which I just got back from, the person who went to Disney to steal a cucumber from the one ride. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going to become, like, semi-famous for this. It's like, but in the grand scheme of things, people would rather, like, an authentic moment. You know, it's, you're always going to be better remembered if you, like, save somebody from something or if you do some, like, random act than you are if you're sipping tea or eating coleslaw or whatever it is. Michaela's always going to be remembered for turning around and screaming "what?" and then screaming at Jay on her way out. That's always what she is going to be remembered for. And the tea thing is just a minor thing that in the moment might seem like a, you know, it's fun, it's interesting, whatever, but that's not what Survivor is at the end of the day. Why do you have a mug?
Yeah. But who gave you a mug?
Yeah.
Who authorized that?
Right.
But yeah. Oh God, I lost my train of thought. Oh, but she, if she didn't come back for Game Changers, I do think that she would be a, like, top five often brought up contestant to return again. Like I said, I wish there was, like, a second chance to whatever you want to call it. I wish she didn't come back during Game Changers, and I also wish that she didn't come back directly after her first season, because I do think she's a player who could have learned a lot from maybe having more time to, like, sit on her game.
Yeah, and for any pre-merge players who haven't played again, I think Michaela playing again does you a disservice, because I think that she would have been a big instigator of why you would want a pre-merge season, you know, because we haven't seen her again. We need to have her back. She was pre-merge player. Let's have a pre-merge season. And I think we've kind of seen what happens is Kelly Wentworth, Michaela, these people who do go pre-merge and come back. Yeah, they're interesting, but once their time has played out, they're no longer classified as pre-merge. Most people wouldn't even tell you that Kelly Wentworth didn't make the merge her first time out because they remember her second and third games way better. And so you're never going to put Kelly Wentworth or Michaela back into a pre-merge pool, despite the fact, in my eyes, their first time out, they were pre-merge. So they should still be considered pre-merge players and should be considered for something like that. But now they won't be. And so that hurts, like, the Bradleys and the Brendans and stuff of the world who – you need to find other characters that are interesting like that who aren't coming back and playing one season later. Because imagine if Michaela hadn't played 6 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, whatever it is, we'd be sitting here going, imagine if Michaela didn't get blindsided by Jay, what would have been? Unfortunately, we already know what would have been. And it was a very average showing.
Yeah. And it's not exciting.
No, not really at all. It's a frustrated woman sitting on a bench while Sarah Lucina swims over and grabs the clue.
Yep. And that's the entire season in a nutshell. Sarah Lucina does something when other people don't.
Yeah, that pretty much defines it. But Michaela will do well on the challenge. I do believe that that is a show for her. She is a physical beast, and I think she will be able to beat people on that show. And even if she doesn't, she might not be able to play the social game as well, but I think she'll do really well on that. And I actually think she plays the social game well in Millennials vs. Gen X. I think Game Changers or social game's terrible, but in Millennials vs. Gen X, she was almost too likable. And Jay was like, I got to do something about that. And it bit Jay in the ass too. So Michaela got her last laugh at the end, right?
Yep. He voted out two people.
Yep. That's it. That's it. But all right, Alexa, what are we doing next week with this series as we get down to 13, which is merge time in New School Survivor?
Yes, next week we are doing our first merge episode. Unclear if there will be more. This is going to be from Survivor Ghost Island. There aren't many episodes that would have been chosen from this season, apart from, I guess, the final six. Or Fear Keeps You Sharp, the merge Chris Noble gets voted out. This is going to be really fun.
Yeah, Chris Noble is a fun one. And this is an episode we talked about, you know, only a couple years ago now. But at Final 13, there's not many really good episodes. The Burton episode is good, but we want to do a Pearl Islands further down the line. Vanuatu we've already covered, even though this is the Bubba Boot from Vanuatu. There's really not much for 13, because a lot of the merges that merge at 13, it's not that exciting. But Chris Noble leading all of the he's like leading the hands out, and oh, this is what we're gonna do, and then they all just turn around and they just vote him out. It is such an entertaining episode, and Chris Noble is such an entertaining character that why not discuss one of the only bright moments from Survivor Ghost Island, right?
One of the few. So yeah, we're staying new school for at least a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that again next week. Phil, what did you and John just talk about tonight?
We talked about 20th Century Women and Burnt by the Sun. So those are two movies you probably haven't seen, but if you have, go check that out. And if you haven't watched them, they're both really good. Mine's better than his, obviously, but he would argue that his is better than mine. So mine was 20th Century Women, and it has Greta Gerwig. So if you're a Greta Gerwig stan, watch that. Greta Gerwig is great, and she deserves to be seen in her.
Greta Gerwig stands. They're out there somewhere.
Are they? I mean, yeah, they're always around. They pop up.
They're around. And yeah, someone earlier asked if we were doing anything about season 42, which allegedly has been leaked, allegedly. If you are a $20 patron, we could be talking about it, or we could not, but you should probably become a $20 patron and check it out. We are also talking about season 41. There's a lot of good daily content coming out for the next 2 months. A lot of it is focused on what is coming in the next year, which we've been wanting for a really long time. So now is a great time to be a $20 patron. And once you're a $20 patron, coming into the season, we're going to have a bunch of games for you guys to have opportunities to win the prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. So patreon.com/starvespecialist.
We're almost there. We're almost there. I actually don't like that season 42's cast has been rumored, because like we just got 41.
I know. I'm not used to having this many people.
I know, but we're there. We're there. We have 36 new faces to memorize, or I guess 37 right now. One photo is not available.
I love that. I love it so much.
That's my favorite thing. But all right, so we have 35 new faces, because 18 and 18. But yeah, this will be a lot of fun. And if you're into this, you know, Alexa and I have never really been into the getting into seasons long before they're coming, but if you're into this, this is your time to be a patron, because this is probably the only time we're going to do this, because once we get into a season, we're not going to be covering what's coming up a full year in advance. But the long wait is almost over. June 21st, the longest day of the year and the longest off season is coming to an end.
Is today the
summer solstice?
Damn.
I know. Go outside and enjoy the sun. It's 8:12 and the sun is still here. I need to go see it one last time.
Oh God, I have to go for a walk.
All downhill from here, Alexa.
Happy summer, everybody.
Happy summer, everybody. We'll see you next week.